Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number three of a Football Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, all across the Spiz Grizz Network. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We will continue to set the stage for your Week 4 Sunday slate live right here in this third hour of TEL. And Donnie, week number four is already underway. Detroit going to Green Bay, and the Lions have now won four consecutive games against the Packers. Is it a sign of the times, Donnie Wrightside, for the changing landscape within the NFC North, a new era for the boys in the Motor City, now the favorites in the division, and no longer Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? Might the Packers be looking up at the Lions in this division? That was the question we asked the public, DRS, following the 34-20 victory for Detroit last night in Lambeau. And most of the public agreeing with the odds, agreeing with that new sentiment, a new time in the NFC North. Minus 195 for Detroit to win the division. Nearly 80% of the public think the Lions do so.
Now, I think they got it right early on, because what you've seen so far, the Lions are a really good football team. Also, let's keep in mind, to open the season, if you would have told me before that, so you know what, they're going to get a victory, talking about the Lions in Arrowhead and in Lambeau just in the month of September, that's a pretty impressive start to your season overall. But again, we see a lot of things happen in the NFL. This isn't Madden football where you turn off the injuries. Injuries are going to be a part of the game, and whether or not that's the Packers, the Vikings, the Bears, or the Lions here, just not going to give up hope. We're not even at the quarter pole yet of the NFL season to start to determine who's going to be a runaway favorite here. The Lions aren't unbeaten at this point. The Lions had a great victory yesterday over the Packers for sure, but I'm interested to see again how the Vikings look on Sunday. Their defense can't be as bad as it possibly has been over the first couple weeks, where you can either throw, pass, run, whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter. You'll absolutely dominate that team. We'll just see how it plays out as we welcome in the radio audience you're watching and listening live to hour number three of the Early Line on a Football Friday, SiriusXM Channel 159. But I don't know. The Lions right now, they look like the class of the NFC North. But having said that, don't give up on the other team. I feel like I want to give up on the Packers, though, to be honest. I'm not giving up on the Vikings, though.
DRS, you made a really good point earlier on in the show, right? The Lions 3-1 straight up, 3-1 against the spread, had a great opportunity to win their home opener in Detroit before the Seahawks stormed back in the second half, winning in overtime. And again, all credit to Seattle for getting that done. But Detroit has looked really good. My question, Donnie, for the Lions entering this year, would the optimism and the expectation be too much? Would that burden of proof be too much? America's team, Hard Knocks last summer. We love the bite and kneecaps mentality of Dan Campbell. But would they actually prove it? Through 4 weeks, and yes, it's only 1 month of this National Football League regular season, I would say the Lions have. And last night was important because they went to Green Bay and got a divisional victory, and they covered as a 2-point favorite, 34-20. Emblematic, DRS, of this changing time in the NFC North. The Packers had won the division 8 of the last 12 years, but Aaron Rodgers was their quarterback. He is no longer there. The Lions, the favorites to win the NFC North entering this year. Last night, though, only a 45-cent gap between Detroit and Green Bay entering Thursday night football. The Lions, the even money favorites, plus 100. Green Bay, DRS, plus 145. Add on $2 to their price now, plus 350. So the market even widening, not just Detroit, because becoming an odds-on favorite at minus 195. And again, in this division, Donnie, so far, there has not been many divisional games played. The Lions, their first last night, a victory over the Packers. The Packers have now played two. Opening weekend in Chicago, a win. Last night, a home loss against the Lions. The Vikings have yet to play a divisional game. Well, not in week number 4. And the Bears, only that game against Green Bay. Four games so far in total, Donnie, within this division between the members of the NFC North. Compare that to the AFC North, where at the end of this weekend, the Browns are going to play half of their divisional games against the Bengals, Steelers, and Ravens by the time we're out of this first month. Donnie, the Lions don't play another divisional game until they host the Chicago Bears midway through November. The Chicago Bears go to Detroit November 19th. That's the next divisional game for the Lions. They end their year, Donnie, with 5 NFC North games in their final 8 regular season matchups. So, yes, the Lions have looked great so far. They should be the odds-on favorite. They have proved they can be the odds-on favorite. But there's still so much to determine when it comes to this divisional race, and we're not really going to find out until the final month and a half of this season.
No, we're not, but the balance looks pretty good there for the Detroit Lions, and the reason I'm bringing that up is you typically think of them as an offensive unit, which last year they were tremendous on offense and really bad on defense. Made a couple draft picks here, brought some guys in. They look like they're a competent defensive team, which is half the battle. If you're just not giving up, you know, 27, 28 points per game, and you hold opponents to around 20 points, you're going to win a lot of football games in the NFL, specifically with the offense that you have for the Lions. Now, last year you had a couple different running backs in that backfield. You completely retool yourself, and you go, okay, hey, we're going to hit the draft here, get Jameer Gibbs. Maybe we'll use him a little bit more down the line. But you bring in David Montgomery, who's been awesome in the backfield, and that complements everybody. Yeah. You lost the tight end last year in Hockenson that you trade away. You get Sam LaPorta in there, goes over his prop once again last night. You have a couple competent wide receivers, which I love Amon-Ra St. Brown here. The sky's the limit, really, for Detroit. They were a team that was supposed to perform this year in 2023, and so far in the season, they're not giving me any reason to doubt them as being the best team overall in that division for now. But as we always say, it's a long season in the NFL. Injuries are going to take place, attrition's going to happen, and you're going to get bad bounces from time to time. We'll see how the Lions handle it. Right now, they're the cream of the crop. But again, the Packers, I didn't like what I saw at all yesterday, and specifically from Jordan Love himself. But Minnesota has the ability to go toe-to-toe with any team in the league on offense. We'll just see if Brian Flores can get that defense cracking a little bit.
Yeah, DRS, I was more disappointed in the Packers defensively. That's one of my main takeaways from last night. We talked about it entering the football game. Could the Lions show up on defense once again? And they did. Yeah, Green Bay still scored 20 points, but they had to make this any semblance of a football game in the second half. And the Lions ran for 211 yards against that Green Bay front seven, a big victory for Detroit. Now the odds-on favorites, minus 195, Donnie, to win the NFC North. Where do you evaluate the Lions in the NFC as a whole? Plus 850, $1.50 taken off Detroit's price to win the NFC Championship following last night.
Look, they're going to be the hot team right now because everybody's going to see them in a primetime mark and say, boy, this is the team that we anticipated we were getting coming into the season, and they're living up to the hype. But also, there is a big discrepancy here. The top-level teams here in each conference are. The 49ers are good. The Eagles are good. We still think the Dallas Cowboys are good, and maybe the Lions are. But is anybody trusting the Saints, the Falcons, the Seahawks, the Packers, and the Vikings? See what I'm getting at? No doubt they play good football, but quite frankly, they deserve to be in the upper echelon because I don't like what I see behind them. But by default, yeah, they'll compete.
I think the Lions are by far, Donnie, the best team of that second peg in the NFC.
Yes.
The two unbeatens, the Birds and the Niners, by far better. I wouldn't bet the Cowboys to win the conference championship, but will they be there? For sure. More of a Week 4 preview up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's a Football Friday, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid Network. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside is here, and now so is Mike Blewett, one of the hosts of In Game Live for your Sunday slate around the National Football League, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday afternoon into the evening hours. Blue is here to help you get ready for what you will bet live come Sunday afternoon. Mike Blewett, as always, very pleased to have you here on a Football Friday on the Early Line.
Excited to be here with you as well. Obviously got off to a interesting start last night with the Lions dominating, and we're going international this week as well. Excited for a full day of football on Sunday.
A full day of football. We're blew it on Monday night of this past week to round out week number three. The Bengals finally got their first win of the year. Joe Burrow gutting it through that right calf strain. It was not pretty. It was by far not perfect, but the Bengals did win 19-16 at home over the Rams for their first victory of this season. Now the Bengals go to the road, blew it, as we go to Nashville between the Bengals and the Titans. Yeah. Cincy, a 2.5-point favorite, a very low total at 41. Blue, when we look back on this football game, will 2.5 be considered a short spread in favor of Cincinnati, or one that wasn't large enough?
I think it's fair to question that. We're still dealing with offensive line issues with both teams. Both offenses really ugly to start the season. I've said this many times on air. The Titans are a very difficult team to bet on, but I'm feeling relatively confident about Cincinnati going into this week. Tennessee against the spread, 0-7 of their last seven home games against AFC North opponents. Cincinnati 6-1 against the spread in their last seven at Tennessee, 11-4 on the road in general. They've been a strong road covering team over the last two seasons. So I like Cincinnati, yet I don't expect a lot of points here. Peter Skoronski still out. He had an emergency appendectomy a couple of weeks ago, so that first round pick still really yet to make an impact. I'd like to see a little bit more offensive consistency out of the Bengals, obviously, but I actually don't expect it out of the Tennessee Titans. That offense is rough right now.
Mike, if we're taking a look and going from a Cincinnati perspective here, this was a true must-win game last week, and rightfully so they treated it that way. They started Joe Burrow, and it wasn't one of those like, hey, he's going to be on a pitch count here. We want to keep him in the pocket, but don't throw more than 20 times. We'll see if we can gut it out. He almost threw 50 passes in that game, and we all know the way you attack Tennessee is not by a ground and pound. It's about using the air. 275 yards per game they're giving up, which also includes passing yards per attempt, close to 8. Do we look for a big bounce-back performance here from Burrow, and do they drop him back 45-plus times in this game?
I think, to your point, they want to protect him as much as they can. I'd like to see some easier throws for him. I utilize Mixon and whomever else in the passing game. Just create easier throws with him. We all get excited. I'm sure the Bengals get excited about the explosiveness of Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, but make it easy for him. This Bengals defense has an opportunity to dominate the Titans offense, particularly in the second half when Lou Anarumo, their defensive coordinator, is great at making adjustments. So just get off to a good start. I think they don't have to throw their best fastball on Sunday, and they can still win this game. But they're going to have to keep Joe protected in some way. Just make the throws easier and keep him from having to scramble.
Again, he threw the football 49 times on Monday night against Los Angeles. Ja'Marr Chase, who only had 70 total yards entering that week three matchup on Monday, we could see there was a clear emphasis to get him more involved offensively. 15 targets, 12 grabs, 141 yards. We will see what is ahead of the Bengals. They got a win they desperately needed week number three. Will they get back to the level of what we expected entering this year? A team that has made it to the AFC Championship two consecutive seasons. We'll show you the odds here in just a moment for the Bengals. There they are. A win total updated now at 9.5. Still favored to see the postseason at minus 134, but the third price out of four now in the AFC North at plus 380, but all four teams separated by just about $2. All right, next up, Mike Blewett. One of the biggest surprises, upsets, of course, of week number three was the Cowboys as a 12.5-point road favorite in Arizona, losing by 12, 28-16 outright against the Arizona Cardinals. How does Dallas bounce back as they get ready to welcome in the New England Patriots to the Star on Sunday? A 6.5-point number, Blue, in favor of the boys. The Pats got their first win of the year, 15 consecutive, against the New York Jets last week on the road in MetLife. A total of 43.5. What bounce back, Blue, are you expecting out of the Cowboys this weekend?
I think I, like everybody else, had it wrong on Sunday. It was a lot of points, clearly, but none of us expected, or not many of us expected Dallas to lose that one outright. New England in their last seven has an underdog 0-7. Dallas 7-0 after a straight up loss against the spread. So they've done a really good job bouncing back after these head scratching losses. I think my biggest concern for Dallas is we still haven't seen the fastball out of the offense yet. CeeDee Lamb's numbers are really conservative through three games. Granted, they had a couple of blowouts and they didn't have to put the ball in the air the way they needed to. They protected the ball well, but Dallas is fifth in the league in points scored, but when you start to peel back that onion, there's a lot of field goals, a kick return, a block kick return, an interception return. So the offense isn't really putting up numbers, and there's been very little explosive play out of the offense. That's my biggest concern right now. It's fine for them to grind out wins and have Dak be conservative, but if they're scared to push the ball down the field to CeeDee Lamb, that's a huge problem. We need to see him get going. And with New England having a couple of injuries to the defensive secondary, what no time, no better time like the present. So I think there's a lot of numbers pointing me in Dallas's way. But again, that's a 6.5-point spread. We don't really want to be in the business of laying touchdowns. But the way the numbers line up to me, they're 9-1 against spread, and like I said, 7-0 after a straight up loss. I like a bounce back here from the Cowboys, but it's going to have to be seeing some offense being played. I do think Micah and the Dallas Cowboys defense can get after Mac Jones, but we need to see something out of Dallas, or this is just going to be an average season.
You take a look at this too, Mike, as we look and say, okay, how's the entire 2023 season going to go? Which Dallas Cowboys team are we going to get?
That's right.
They went on the road and blew out the New York Giants. Not a very good football team to me so far. Week number two, you had the Jets. Ooh, would have been a good test if Aaron Rodgers was there. He's not. We see what the Jets are on offense. You went on the road last week as a double-digit favorite against Arizona, and you're saying to yourself, like, oh, that should be another easy victory. They didn't play well. I do think New England is a formidable opponent here. The line opened up at 7.5. Now it goes to 6.5. Are we looking at a closer ball game today? Because for my money, I think I'm going to take New England Patriots with the points this weekend.
Totally understand that. I think the number, I just am really concerned with both offenses, obviously, but I'm really concerned with any ability for New England to go on the road here and put up points. That Jets game, the Jets are, obviously we know, the Jets are horrendous offensively. That's a football game.
Yeah.
Late in the fourth quarter, if not for the safety, there's a dropped Hail Mary, there's a safety in there to make it look a little bit better than it was. So I have real concerns about Mac going on the road and generating offense against this Dallas Cowboys defense. I feel much more confident in Dallas being able to get something going finally, and CeeDee Lamb should be able to dominate this secondary.
And Dallas was the best defensive team in all of the NFL entering last week in the desert against the Cardinals. Arizona put up a ton of explosive plays. A 40-yard plus run out of Josh Dobbs. A 45-yard touchdown run for Rondale Moore. A big pass play of north of 65 yards to Michael Floyd that iced the game away for the Cardinals. I don't think Dallas wants to be exposed defensively in the way that they were a Sunday ago. Again, the Niners, the favorites in the NFC, plus 260. The Eagles back at plus 320. The Cowboys, that third best price, at plus 470. We are going to fly around the Week 4 Sunday slate. Up next, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The entire Sunday slate for the National Football League week number 4 is going to be set for you and previewed for you live right here on this Football Friday on the Early Line. Back like he never left for a second consecutive segment. Mike Blewett is here. I'm Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside, of course, is here as well. Blue, one more game to get to before we run through the rest of the slate and some of the marquee matchups on the board for this Sunday in Indianapolis. A weird phenomenon that if you're looking at the spread, you'd say, okay, the Rams are the underdog against the Colts in Indy. But then you look at the money line, LA is the slight favorite at minus 110 as compared to the Colts at minus 108. So Blewett, make sense of it for us in a near pick'em in this football game. Who's going to win?
I think this is just an example of the books understanding that this money is going to be just about even when we get close to kickoff. I'd expect maybe a little bit more Rams money to push this closer to a pick'em before kickoff. Anthony Richardson back, obviously, but we saw a week ago without Richardson in the lineup, the Colts were actually more stable offensively. Credit to the Colts, though. Three performances thus far this season where they scored over 20 points. I think we had a lot of questions with Taylor out of the lineup and a rookie quarterback now in and out of the lineup as to whether or not they could put up points. But they've been able to do that so far, including against the Ravens. So this is an interesting one, right? We have a near coin flip of a game. Matt Stafford has shown his ability to distribute the ball really well early on in the season. But I've had questions about the Rams defense and whether or not they can hold up week in, week out. We're still dealing with injuries, too, on the Colts offensive line. Quentin Nelson has not been himself thus far this season, grading pretty poorly in PFF grades. So I'd imagine he's nursing a little bit of an injury as he's missing practice as well. So I think this is one of the toughest ones on the board, but I'm going to go with the Rams here on the road to get the win. I just have questions about the sustainability of the Colts offense, but I'd love to see Richardson come out there and make some plays. This one's really close to a coin flip for me.
I like this game overall, Mike. I think it is going to be very interesting to watch it play out. And you're right, seeing if you're going to get back with Anthony Richardson. Is he full go? How healthy is at this point? How involved he is? Because you have a pretty good backup in Gardner Minshew. However, the question I want to ask you here is about the longevity of the Indianapolis Colts. Coming into the season, myself alike and a lot of other people just were thinking this is going to be Jacksonville in a runaway division. The Colts have been so, so much better than I ever thought they would be. And granted, they're only 2-1 through the first three games. But I was looking at one of those teams where I didn't know if they could get the 5-win on the season. Now looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars right now, not playing great football, is there a chance that the Colts can actually take this division to you?
I would say the way that the Jags look at the moment is one of the more concerning situations in the league.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's just 1-2 versus 2-1 and the Colts being in first place. But this is more about the way the Jaguars have looked. Yes, they beat Indianapolis in week one, but that was a tight game. Mm-hmm. They really broke it open late in the game to get a late fourth quarter touchdown to make it a 10-point win. Indianapolis was in that down to the wire with a rookie starting his first game in week one. That's who they were playing against. This is not the Jaguars' offense we saw in the past. Lawrence has to find a way to be more accurate, utilize Ridley and the other weapons that they have. I'm as surprised with their opening season performance as with any team in the league. This was somebody that we were betting overs in some instances on 11.5 wins, Donnie. This is an expectation of it being a 12-win team. They look very far from it right now. To your point about the Colts, they have a home game this week against the Rams, which is winnable. Home against the Titans next week, winnable. They go on the road to Jacksonville, where they've struggled greatly in the last decade. But then more home games, Browns and Saints. They have four home games in the next five games played, and there's an opportunity for the Colts to rip off 5 wins or more early in the season.
Yeah, Shane Steichen's doing a very good job coming over from Philadelphia. Yeah. And having said that, also their other coordinator, Jonathan Gannon in Arizona. Look, not the greatest team in the world, but certainly playing good football at this point. Let's get
They're playing hard, Donnie. They play hard in Arizona.
Exactly. And I do think getting that 14 points, that maybe a little bit later, we'll talk about that. But the marquee game of the week, 1 o'clock start, that's going to be in Buffalo. That's the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. You take a look at the Buffalo Bills as 3-point favorites here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. They've been playing very good after that, I don't know what type of performance, opening night against the New York Jets. But the Miami Dolphins, everybody's lining up on that bandwagon, Mike. Do we see that bandwagon take even more people on board here and maybe a Miami victory over the Buffalo Bills here?
I think it's certainly a possibility. You know, the weather in Buffalo this weekend, we are looking at, I mean, we're basically outside of New York, we're getting pretty good weather. But yes, 72 degrees, no rain whatsoever. So that's a break for the Miami Dolphins. I need to see somebody slow this offense down. Obviously, the Bills defense has a lot of talented players on it. They don't always play like an elite defense, considering the talent that they have. I expect a lot of points here. I am actually going to give the edge to the Bills this weekend. I don't suggest that they're shutting Miami down. I just think that maybe they can get the edge in a home game and they outscore the Dolphins. They're going to have to, though, sustain some drives in order to keep Miami off the field a little bit. I don't think Miami particularly cares about time of possession because they're so explosive, but it's going to be incumbent on the Bills offense in order to stay with them. That week one game against the Jets was terrible, but we know Josh has a few games like that every year. That was one of them. Yeah. And since then, they've put up over 70 points.
4 turnovers for Josh Allen in that game against New York, only 1 in the 2 games since. It will be imperative he plays clean football this weekend. We showed you the odds. Miami in odds on favorite to win the AFC East, minus 135. Buffalo entered the year with 3 straight divisional titles with that best price. The favored team before the year got underway. Look at how close all of these prices are. It is going to swing drastically either which way, depending on the result on Sunday in Orchard Park, New York. That a divisional matchup, Blue. Here's another one in the AFC North in Cleveland. The Browns actually a slight favorite, laying 2.5 at home with points at a premium and a total of 40.5 between the flock and the Browns. Blue, is this game going to be as competitive as that 2.5-point spread would say?
I think so. The Browns are ranked as the number one defense in the league for good reason. For anybody that's been watching this game, their offense leaves some to be desired, obviously. Watson, you'd like to see Watson be a little bit more accurate, but he's using Elijah Moore in the pass game last week. I think we're going to see that become a bigger part of their offense. But this defense has really gotten after it. Micah Parsons is going to get the headlines, but for my money right now, Myles Garrett is right there with them. Myles Garrett is having an awesome season. Anytime you watch a Browns game, he is completely disrupting the opposition. They're double teaming him constantly, and he still there's a viral video clip from this past week of Garrett moving back and forth across the lines, and it confused the Titans so much they had to call a timeout in a key situation. I think this defense can do their best to limit Lamar. What's frustrating about the Ravens again last week is the passing offense. There was just, we thought we saw some bright spots in weeks 1 and 2, and then last week, just an inability to convert on key plays. Zay Flowers is going to be a target monster for them this year, but they need to get more out of people not named Zay Flowers in this offense. The J.K. Dobbins injury may have them reeling, but they're just going to have to work with what they have with Edwards and everyone else.
Mike, let's step into the eliminator chamber here. Denver Broncos, Chicago Bears. What a barn burner here. A 3.5-point favorite to a road team that got lit up by 50 points just a week ago. Are we looking at points in this game? Do you have an idea of who might win this game? Or quite frankly, Mike, do you even care about this game?
I'm going to have to care one way or the other. The Bears are the worst team in the league. I just have to leave it at that. I haven't seen anybody play as bad. Their first half against the Chiefs, I know it's all lost in the Taylor Swift phenomenon in Kansas City. The first half that the Bears played was probably the worst half of NFL football I've seen from any team in at least 5 years. They really genuinely look like they didn't know what they were doing. They weren't ready. They came out of a kickoff, guys, out of a kickoff where they took the ball over on a touchback at their own 25 and got a delay of game. There were many instances like that where they didn't know what was going on defensively, offensively, and for all the warts that the Broncos have, I'd be surprised if they don't go in there and get the W. The hook is a little scary, obviously, at 3.5, but I'm just going to say I think there's value there. I think if these teams played in a couple of more weeks, the Bears would be a touchdown underdog. The Broncos are just a better team, even though they stink too.
Mike, well, I got you for a second here. Denver and Chicago. I mean, they're not going to fire Sean Payton with that massive contract here, right? But for the Chicago Bears, if they don't look competent on offense, Luke Getsy keeps telling me every single day we're only a play or two away here. I don't see it here. What is the future for the Chicago Bears and Justin Fields? Are they just going to move on at the end of this?
A play or two away. They're 50 plays away on Sunday. Well, a play or two. A play or two every series, maybe. They can't make any plays defensively, offensively. In terms of what the Bears are going to do, they're headed towards the number one pick. Nobody is going to pass on Caleb Williams. So that's it. It's going to end up being the same situation that they had before they picked Kyler Murray. They're just going to move on. Yeah. They're going to run it back to the number one pick, and they're going to have to find somebody that can support Caleb Williams, whether it's Lincoln Riley and they do a package deal or anyone else. They're going to have to figure something because a defensive coach is not going to support Caleb Williams in the way that he needs it.
Hey, you guys sounded great in this segment. Way to hold it down. Mike Blewett, we appreciate it. We'll see you on In-Game Live Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m.
Thanks for joining us, Ben.
Pick six. Yep. Thank you very much. More of the Early Line. I hope I'll be here next.
Let it go. Let it go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The pick six for week number four of this National Football League regular season and your Sunday slate. Live right here on this Football Friday on the Early Line. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. Again, a reminder of what the pick six is. A touchdown scoring prop. A moneyline underdog we think might be barking on Sunday. Our favorite under on the board. Team game total, it does not matter. An alternate line, our favorite yardage prop of the weekend, and we both combine our powers for a teaser we expect to hit. A six-point teaser for multiple games on Sunday. So, DRS, TD score prop, brother, were you on it last week? Blank space in the end zone for Travis Kelce. He scored with Taylor Swift watching. Where are you going this week, DRS, for that anytime TD prop?
Nice to meet you. Where you been? Yeah, we're going to be in the end zone this weekend. Ezekiel Elliott for the Dallas Cowboys game. Are you kidding? Let's play this out, Ben, because this one I sort of stumbled on and then thought more about it. Are you telling me the New England Patriots are going to head down to Jerry World, get the football in the one-yard line, and repeatedly hand it to Ramondre Stevenson? Absolutely not. I'm shocked that this price is a plus 250 number. By the way, Zeke last week, 80 yards on the ground. How are you going to beat the Dallas Cowboys this week? Dropping back 50 times? Absolutely not. Running the football. And yes, I understand Bill Belichick cares about winning football games, but some things are bigger than winning football games. They're really not, but I'm trying to play this out. Ezekiel Elliott getting a touchdown. And maybe even jumps in the Salvation Army basket and does this little, you know, I'm eating it up here at home. I love it. Ezekiel Elliott scoring a touchdown this week. Guaranteed.
I mean, it's a great look, DRS. That revenge spot for Zeke in this matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. He scored 12 rushing touchdowns last year. The year prior in 2021, 12 total touchdowns, 10 on the ground, two receiving. The guy has always had a nose for the end zone, yet to score this year. Maybe the first one happens this week against his former team, the Dallas Cowboys. DRS, I'm looking at Jalen Hurts. The tush push is quite the conversation around the National Football League. Is it illegal? Should it be outlawed? Are the birds cheap for using it? The answer is no to all three of those questions. It is not illegal. It should not be outlawed. And you're just mad because Philly's doing it better than every other team in the National Football League. Jalen Hurts has scored via the tush push three times this year, DRS. Three times in the last two games. He had 13 rushing scores a season ago, the second most ever by a quarterback in a single season. Minus 125 for the Eagles at home as an 8.5-point favorite against the Commanders, DRS, who they lost to last year in the regular season as a big favorite. Not trying to see that this week. Jalen Hurts to find the end zone, minus 125.
Yeah, I like that, too. And by the way, I think it's going to be turning into a badge here of honor for the Philadelphia Eagles, not knowing how much longer they're actually going to be able to do it. So why not rub it into everybody's face with every opportunity, just smashing machines on the one-yard line into the end zone? You can see it there, because when they get to the one, they don't hand the football off. They just push it into the end zone. I like it.
DRS, Moneyline Underdog time. You're waking up bright and early. You'll be on PFT Pro Football Today starting at 10 a.m. Eastern time, sweating out this Moneyline Underdog bet alongside Joe Lisi and Kevin Walsh. What is it, DRS, and why?
It's going to be the Falcons here, and the reason being is here, we're not happy with the way the Jacksonville Jaguars have played, and maybe we're so. Not. I wasn't happy with the way the Atlanta Falcons played this week, even though I told everybody that Detroit was going to win that football game and cover the three, which they did. So maybe a bump here where I say Jacksonville didn't play that well last week. It's a true neutral field, and next week maybe Jacksonville has an advantage against the Bills because they're already in the UK. I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons here to pull the mild upset and take the +136 price there over in the UK.
DRS, I can't believe I'm about to do what I'm about to do. Bear with me. Put on your big boy pants. We're going to Chicago on Sunday for the Moneyline Underdog play in the Sickos game of the week. One of the worst football games you might ever see. The Bears and the Broncos. Both teams winless. Both teams unmitigated disasters this year. Am I going to go down with the Justin Fields ship? You bet your darn tush that I am. Bears, outright, money line, +134. Is there a precise handicap? No. Do I think there's some points? Yes. The total at 46, the two worst scoring defenses in the National Football League that both look like they forgot how to play the sport of football. Donnie, I just think if there's one final stand out of Chicago, maybe it's this weekend. And although they are 0-3, Donnie, if they lose this football game, we're just going to say, yeah, the Bears stink, man. They're the worst team in the NFL. We knew that going in. We know that after week number four. If the Broncos lose, Donnie, oh my goodness, the pressure cooker in the Mile High City is going to be ramped up through the roof. You think altitude's bad? Wait till you find that pressure if the Broncos start 0-4 where they lost on the road in the Windy City on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at one last stand here for the Chicago Bears. Might be Custer's last stand at that point here, because I don't know what type of offense I'm expecting out of Justin Fields, but it will be impressive if they have any offense. And tell me this, Ben. Let's just say the Chicago Bears pull up with like 7 points for this whole game when they just gave up 70 the week before. And I just want to see Luke Getsy be like, hey, guy, you watch that tape? We are so, so close from busting loose here. Yeah. Stop the madness, Chicago. Stop it.
Yeah. Listen, it's bad, right? I don't think that's going to happen. I wanted the Rams, DRS, but technically L.A., despite getting 1.5 in Indianapolis, is favored on the money line, thus not the money line underdog. So I could not bet them, and I thought if we're going to get weird, let's get really weird in the Windy City on Sunday. All right, DRS, your favorite under of the weekend. Where are you looking?
Yeah, we're going to the black and blue division. That's the AFC North. My goodness here. Maybe the best defense overall. Mm. How about that? The Cleveland Browns, Jim Schwartz, has the defense absolutely cooking here. And also, no slouch on the other side for the Ravens. But having said that, the Ravens are so banged up on offense, they're not going to move the football easily. And if you are Deshaun Watson making all that money, you haven't lived up to the hype here, but you don't have to at this point. Man, what a love. How many quarterbacks would love to have a defense that bails you out continuously? where you say, hey, get the 17 points, and we have a great chance to win this football game. I think this game is staying under the total. Am I rooting for the Ravens? Yes, because I have tickets here. But I actually don't think they win this football game, and I do think it's lower scoring. That defense is legit right now, and I'll ride it.
Yep. That defense has only allowed 3 points so far in each of their two home games. Baltimore has a very tough task. DRS, I think this game is going to be close. We'll talk about it in just a little bit, but I think it's going to be close in like a 21-17 fashion, not something like 31-28 in Cleveland on Sunday. I'm going New England, team total under 18.5. They've only been over this number once. They scored 20 points against Philadelphia week number one, but under in the past 2 weeks. They only put up 13 points offensively against New York a week ago. They got a safety that made it 15-10. The victory for the Pats. I don't think they're very good offensively. I don't think there's a lot of talent around Mac Jones. Sure, DRS, for you, Zeke can score 7 of the 18 points that I would need to stay under this, but the Cowboys got last week by Arizona. The Cardinals were the better team. It was not a fluke. Arizona had more offensive explosive plays than Dallas could even dream of. I think the Cowboys, who I still consider one of the best defenses in the NFL, DRS, makes a stand, takes it personal, bounces back, keeping New England under 18.5. Alt line, DRS, What are we thinking, and what song are you going to sing?
Man, watch out, Travis Kelce, because you might be singing from Taylor Swift, looking at Zach Wilson going, you belong with me. I expect points in this game, baby. 45.5, we're going to the over. Why is that? Because Zach Wilson is going to get after it. And what I mean by getting after it, scoring 16-17 points, which should be good enough. I can't believe a Kansas City Chiefs total for a football game is at 41.5. Let's take the alt over here, and yes, Zach Wilson is going to show up in a big spot because he is trying to be stealing other people's treasures out there on the field.
I mean, listen, Zach Wilson is Mr. Steal Your Girl. Just ask his mom. We'll save that conversation for another day. Well, I'm just saying. Listen, we all know reports. DRS, if things don't work out for us here on the early line, although I never want to leave you, you have a bright future, man. Maybe as a cover artist, maybe going to The Voice. You got some golden
maybe
pipes.
Maybe 7 to 9 a.m., man. 7 to 9 a.m.? You can sell me on it. Might be able to sell me on it. Never know, man. Never know.
Oh, DRS just singing for 2 hours to get us cooked and ready to go here on the early line. All right, DRS, my alternate line, the Bengals, a 6.5-point spread in their favor, plus 186. Since he only a 2.5-point road favorite in Tennessee. Donnie, I haven't been overly impressed by the Titans, a 1-2 football team this year. Cincinnati won last week. Great. Now they need to keep winning football games. The Titans are always a weird team to bet against or even bet on. The 2.5-point spread does make sense to me. I think we're just going to look back on this Bengals team at the end of the year and think, only a 2.5-point spread that week. They're not going to be favored by much less than a field goal in many other games this season. I think the Bengals get their second win of the year, and I think they do so by at least a touchdown. Cincy minus 6.5. All right, yardage prop, DRS, as we keep the pick six rolling. Where are you looking for the Sunday slate week number four?
Yeah, yardage prop for me. I always like to go to big games here, and quarterbacks had the ability to get loose. I bet last week Josh Allen over his number, which I believe was only 30.5. This week it's 35.5. In these type of games, you will do whatever it takes to win football games. And I know they probably told him multiple times, hey, look, save all this type of stuff here for the playoffs when we actually need games. You actually need this football game. If there is a lane to take off from that pass rush for the Miami Dolphins, Josh Allen is going to take off. I really like his yards prop over 35.5.
DRS, it's a great look, honestly, right? He normally waits to run more productively until the postseason. Last week, though, only needed 3 carries for 46 yards with a long of 23 against the Commanders. And you talked about, despite the Dolphins improving defensively, despite where the Bills are defensively as well, both teams, if there is a small blemish, comes in defending the run. It's going to be a huge game. It's the marquee matchup of week number 4 in Western New York, over 35.5 for Josh Allen. A great look out of you, DRS. I could not believe, Donnie, that Kirk Cousins' passing yards prop was only 279.5 when I checked last night against Carolina. I thought at least into the 290s as it was a weekend ago. He has thrown for 344 passing yards in all three games so far this year for Minnesota, averaging 358. And Donnie, I've said it before, the Vikings are throwing the football on 74.5% of their plays against the Carolina team that allowed 279 last week against Seattle through the air. Kirk goes over 279.5 against Carolina this weekend in Charlotte. DRS, let's bring it home. What's your leg of the teaser here in the pick six?
Let's keep it simple. You're just trying to take a look at football teams that you think are going to win the football game outright. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Commanders in Philadelphia hated the way that Washington played last week, loved the way the Philadelphia Eagles played on Monday Night Football. No worse for the wear. They'll handle their business. My teaser leg, the Eagles, -2.5 points against the Commanders.
An 8.5-point spread down to 2.5. I'm taking a 2.5-point spread up to 8.5. The Ravens as an 8.5-point underdog in the matchup against the Browns. As Donnie alluded to, a total of 40.5. It feels like points are at a premium in that football game. I don't know who wins at DRS. I actually agree the Browns should be the favorites. I don't think they win by double digits. I don't think they win by more than a touchdown. I'll tease the Ravens up to an 8.5-point underdog. What a pick six it was. Now one final best bet as we send you into the weekend. Up next, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Sports Grid Network, man. What a fun time here on a Football Friday live on the Early Line, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern. I'm Ben Stevens. He's Donnie Wrightside. We close out our 3 hours together. We close out this week together with a couple of best bets. But before that, make sure you tune in to where all the best bets can be found each and every day in your favorite sport, with your favorite team, in your favorite league. That's the new Sports Grid app. Scan the QR code on your screen, and in a matter of moments, all of our information is right there. You can sync your bets with your favorite sports book now. Of course, ours is the lovely FanDuel Sportsbook. You can track your bets in the app and DRS. The app also provides you five-star plays that are known as best bets. So before we head into the weekend, DRS, let's give the people a best bet. Before we say farewell, before we say goodbye, it is time for Bye Bye Bye. Donnie Wrightside, get us on the right side. What's your best bet for this weekend?
Yeah, we're looking forward to football, obviously, on Saturday and Sunday. But tonight, it's going to be Major League Baseball for me. And this comes from a guy that is really rooting hard for the Houston Astros. But you know where I'm going tonight? I'm taking the Arizona Diamondbacks. Why? Because dollars make sense here. It's a -120 price here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. This is a massive pitching mismatch between Zach Gallen and J.P. France. Do I think the Astros are overall the better team? Yes, but that doesn't mean you're just going to be able to navigate Zach Gallen out there on the mound. I'm going to lay it. I'll go -120 tonight, Arizona Diamondbacks. And sometimes I hope I'm wrong, but in this instance, I don't think I am. I think the Diamondbacks win tonight.
Donnie, we gave the people the pick six, right? All of our football bets for this Sunday slate. I'll add in one more. No prop out yet for Jalen Waddle, but he is back through concussion protocol. 53.5 is the point total for the Dolphins and the Bills. They're going to throw it. You're going to get a discounted number on Waddle as compared to Tyreek Hill. 78 week number one against the Chargers, 86 week number two against the Patriots. And tonight, Jawar Jordan, the running back for Louisville, over 81.5 rushing yards against NC State. Have a great weekend, everybody. For Donnie Wrightside and myself, Ben Stevens, we'll see you on the Early Line Monday at 8 a.m. Eastern, live right here on Sports Grid.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.